Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
All right. Welcome to the Way LBK. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. So glad you've joined us for worship today.
Father, may it be so, Lord Jesus. Lord, that everything that we do, everything that we say, Father, we would look to you for direction. Lord, that you would truly be the light before us, God. And that, Lord, even as we walk through hard times, through darkness, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit will go and guide us, Lord Jesus. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning, but maybe their eyes are closed, or maybe finding it just difficult, Lord, to just move. Lord, we pray into those situations, Father. Whatever they are, Lord. Lord, whether it just be, whether it be practical things, Father, like provision, finances, job situation. Lord, move in those places, God. Give us direction. Guide us, Lord. Give us your wisdom. And Lord, make a way where it seems like there's not a way, Father. Lord, be it more of a spiritual nature, Lord, where maybe our eyes are closed to something, we're missing something that you're trying to help us understand, Lord, a truth, Lord, that you want to impart to us, Lord. Let our spirits be open, Lord, to hear what you have to say, Lord Jesus. Lord, break down the hard parts of our heart. And begin to soften them, Lord Jesus, with the kindness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, maybe we're in a place where we need to just take stock, Lord, and look deep in our hearts and say, man, I've missed the boat here. Lord, I repent and I turn and go the other direction, Lord Jesus. Whatever those prayers might be this morning, Jesus, we lift each of them to you, Father. Lord, you can be the light and the direction in each of those things, Father. Lord, we look to you, we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, this morning. And everybody said, amen. You guys can be... All right, so most of you guys know that we are in the process of looking for a new pastor. And last week we introduced Gary Bowles. He's going to be with us for quite a while as he's coming up. He's going to be here with us in our interim time, sharing the word with us and doing pastoral kind of duties here and there. So we're super excited to get to hear from him again. Gary, I want to invite you to come on up, brother.
You bet. Thank you, sir. Sure glad we got something to put my stuff on. Thank you, Dallas. Good morning, everybody. I want to back up, just go back 7 days, you know, where you go all the way back 7 days, because there's still a little unclarity, that's probably not the right word, of who I am and what I'm doing. But one of the things I wanted to clarify is I have a wife. She's not here this morning. Her name is Julie. And I have three children, Emily, and Jessica. Two of my children are named Emily, and we didn't do that on accident. We did it on purpose. Actually, they were named before we ever got to know each other. So Julie and I were both divorced, and I had two children, Jessica and Emily. And Julie had a little girl named Emily, and we met at Cadillac's over in Leveland. I know some of y'all know where that's at. And we got a chance to meet, and Julie was a kindergarten teacher in Morton, and I was pastoring in Morton. And the principal, I think, or somebody set us up, and we got together and met. And I said, hi, my name is Gary, and this is my daughter, Jessica, and Emily. And she goes, well, this is my daughter, Emily. And I go, cool. And we even thought about having another child. Didn't happen. Sometimes blessings are blessings, because we were going to name that child Jessica and mess up the entire insurance industry. Because we've had their names dropped off of insurance, car insurance, you name it, we've had it done. And so with that said, so that was last week. I challenged everybody to say a little simple prayer. I have them on a card, and I have some more, and I'm going to lay them right here. If you didn't get one, if you'll just be sure and pick one up after church. As we go through this, it simply says, "Dear Lord, I come before you as Jesus did in the garden. Help me discover your perfect will for my life and our church. Amen." It's that simple. Put it on your mirror, put it in the car, somewhere where you can see it. And if you just say that every day, just for a moment, and lift us up during this interim season. So anyways, my name is Gary Bowles. I've pastored for 30-something years. And before we begin, I was serving in Floyd Data for the last 6 years. Retired November 1st. We bought a house over here. And a guy named Ted Wilson, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Ted. Ted is preaching in Floyd Data for me. This morning, Ted was taken by ambulance to the hospital during the service. So I want to say a prayer for Ted as we begin this morning. Father God, we pray for Ted. We pray that you surround him, that you send your angels to care for him during this time. Let him know that we love him and we care for him, and we pray you walk beside him in the midst of this. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. So we're glad you're here this morning. We're kicking off a new series titled, How to Thrive in 25. How to Thrive in 25. And so we're going to give you some tips over the next month or so that's tied into the scripture to give you some ideas of how do we take steps forward in our lives, and how do we do that, and how do we do that where we thrive. And so this morning, we're going to look at a scripture from Hebrews chapter 11, because it's reminded, if you want good luck in the new year, there are all kinds of crazy superstitions out there. So I've got a couple of slides I want to show you. I'm sorry. If you'll go back to the pictures, I'll do that in a minute. Sorry, I messed you up. Number one, you ever heard of this one? Knock on wood, right? Anybody ever do that? You got to get some good luck, right? All right, what's the next one? What has he got in his hands? And what are you supposed to do with it? How come he didn't say the right shoulder? I always wondered that. It actually goes back a ways, and I did a little research on it, and I don't remember what I found, but you're supposed to throw it over your shoulder. So, you know, that's when you reach 60, that happens. So, and we had COVID. Did anybody have COVID? Yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to say this morning. It just kind of comes out. But that's not anything new. So, all right, next picture. Here we go. What is she doing wrong? I'm walking under a ladder. Anybody ever try to avoid that? Yeah, I don't want any of these. Next picture, see what we have. 7 years bad. Aren't you glad it's not like 10 years or something like that? You know, so, okay, I think I got another couple maybe. Boom. Oh, what did he do? Stepped on the crack, right? So I do have to share a little bit of, I'm pretty good at oversharing. I'm going to do that a little bit this morning. So this week was my mother's 82nd birthday. So is that right? Yeah, I think that's right. She passed away in 2016. Any of you ever heard of mesothelioma? You ever heard of that? That's what my mom passed away from. It's a cancer she had it in her stomach. But she was my mom most of my life. And she lived in the Houston area, and we have several of us that are her kids, and so she was fantastic. So, all right, I think I got one more picture maybe. What do we know about Friday the 13th? It's a movie that came out while I was in college, and he had the long fingernails, right? All right. But all of this new year in 2025, we're not after good luck. We are after the good life, right? You know, one of the phrases you might could use is don't be resolute. Instead, have resolve. I don't know if you do this, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to make my New Year's resolutions. And they say, I think Google said it lasts 26 days. But if instead of making resolutions, what would it look like to have a little more resolve in our lives? You know, a little stick-to-itiveness. Maybe some kind of accountability where you're connecting with somebody consistently, and they're saying, now you need to walk a little more, you need to eat a little less. So anyways, pray for me tomorrow. The doctor always gives you those advices. Okay, all right, so let's read the scripture this morning. It comes from Hebrews chapter 11, I believe, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended. He commended God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. Amen? The reading of God's word and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So if we look at this particular scripture from Hebrews, as we process through this, there's at least three things we notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Three things. One, we notice, because it says, faith is the assurance of things we can't see. Things we hope for, but we can't see. It gives us that assurance. It gives us assurance. It says faith is pleasing to God. It says you can't get where you want to be unless you're pleasing to God. Amen? And then it also says, and I love this one, faith leads to action. See how we do that? Three things it does. It says it's assurance in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It is pleasing to God, and it leads to action. And right after this, there's a few verses where it says, by faith, Abel did this. By faith, Enoch did this. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Gary. By faith, Alan. By faith, you could put your name in there. Which word is common to all of those? Faith. Faith. I mean, sometimes my faith is so powerful that I believe if I drop this book, it's going to hit the ground. That's how much, I mean, I got incredible faith, right? I mean, really, really. So this book of Hebrews, where we're reading from this morning, a little bit of the context. One, we don't really know exactly who wrote Hebrews. A lot of folks think Paul might have wrote it. Some folks think maybe someone else did. But it was during this time frame, I believe it was 64 to 69 A.D. So remember, Jesus died in about 33 or 34 A.D., and if you do the math, about 30 years later, 35, this is when this book comes on the scene. Some think Barnabas, some think Apollos. But the strongly Jewish character of the letter helps us narrow down the date, 64 A.D. So why is Hebrews important? It clearly lays out the present ministry of Christ and the life of the church. You see, the big idea is throughout all the pages of Hebrews, he makes it clear that Jesus exceeds everyone else. The entire book of Hebrews, Jesus exceeds everyone else. And who should our faith be in? Jesus, right? By faith in God, by faith in Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's not just wishful thinking, but it's the firm assurance that what God has promised will come to pass. It is a deep, confident trust in his character and in his word. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So where do we see this faith play out in our lives? Well, a couple of places. One, we notice when we give our life to Christ and we have eternal salvation, we do that with faith, right? We do that with faith that we're going to have this. You know, by faith, one day I will stand in heaven and my grandmother Margaret I will see. You know, the ones who've gone before us, the saints. We have this hope and this trust. We have this faith in eternal life and in salvation. We have faith that Jesus was raised from the dead. We have this faith in his resurrection. Julie and I, just a couple of years ago, had a chance to visit the Holy Land. And one of the parts of the Holy Land you're going to go to is the tomb, right? I mean, you don't go to Israel to not go to the tomb, right? I mean, it's like going to Atlanta and not going to the Coca-Cola factory, or is it Dr. Pepper? Either way, it doesn't matter. But you got to go to those things. And so we're like, we got to go to the tomb. And so our guide, on that particular day, we're going to get there about 8:30 in the morning, which is about 2:30 in the morning our time. I don't know. I lost track. But you go through these doors and you go in this room. There's a big round area and the tomb sets in the middle. And you go around. It's like going to Disney World. You know, you stand in line, you know. And eventually you're going to get there. And everybody gets about 20 seconds inside the tomb. Julie and I are making our way around. We've been there maybe an hour. And we get all the way up and we're like a couple of folks are right in front of us. And if you look back to your right, there's this giant stained glass window. And the light is shining right through it. And the minute we get a chance to step in the tomb, the light shines right inside the tomb. Now, at that point, the hair was already standing up on my neck. Until we went inside and sat down and put our hands on the stone where he laid. And we just looked at each other and everything about us went, oh my gosh. We have this faith in this resurrection that took place. We saw it. We touched it. We felt it. We could smell it. By faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. You know, we have faith in God's promises. We have faith in our spiritual growth that as we read and study and comprehend God's word, that we will be transformed, that we will be where God was. We were here, and now how do we get to here? You know, in Sunday school, they talked a little bit about these things that happen in our lives, and it's those things that often are transformative in our lives. And when we are connected to God, he doesn't want us to stay over there. He wants us to be over here. He's always seeking transformation. Now, I know, you're going, well, you're the preacher, but let me just tell you, if I had my choice, I'd still be over here. I'd stay over here. But God consistently pushes me over here. You see, I went on the walk in 1987, the walk to Emmaus, and Andy Hirsch was actually on that walk, and we were at Camp Butman, and I was this young 25-year-old kid. I was going to college. I wanted to be in the banking industry, all of these things. And in that process, God called me into ministry, and I remember thinking, not me. I've seen those guys. There's some crazy dudes out there. I don't want to get near those people. And Lord says, but I'm calling you. And I went, whoa. And I even looked around the room. Is he talking to me? Wait, let's try this again. Is he talking to me? 35 years later, he still keeps talking. And he still keeps telling us we've got transformation that's going to happen. We have faith in that. But we also have faith in God's kingdom. That there will be a day when God will make all things right. Amen? I mean, that's a faith we have, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but I got a list. You know, I want to get to heaven and go, okay, God, I'm ready for these five things. And I need you to get them right pretty quick. Now, he typically doesn't listen much to me, but, you know, you might try it. You know, it hasn't helped me very much. So, but we have this faith in things we can't see. Faith. By faith. Amen? By faith. So, my oldest daughter and my middle daughter, Jessica and Emily, both live in Houston. And they live close to each other. And you might say the oldest one, every now and then has things happen in her life. And it seems to be this, well, it happened to me again. It happened to me again. I can't believe it's always happening to me. And so she calls me one day and she said, oh my gosh, Dad, you're not going to believe this. My car's broke. And I said, but your car's like got 20,000 miles on it and it's like a year old. Yeah, but I drove it out of the parking lot and I hit the bottom and now all the oil is running out of it and it's going to run dry and it's going to burn up. And I said, slow down just a little bit. And she said, I'm sitting in the car, it's raining and I don't have any help. I said, come on, let's pray a little bit. You know, let's trust God just a little bit. She goes, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, let me pray for you. So she's sitting in the rain, drinking her coffee. I think the wind, it was electric. She couldn't get the wind all the way up. She got rain coming in on her. And we're praying. And I just said, Lord, we're going to put it all in your hands. I said, you still there? She goes, yeah. I go, come on. Amen, amen. Okay, okay. All right. So she calls me an hour or so later, and she says, well, they looked at my car, and they said the part that's broke, it's such a new car, they don't have it. I was like, well, that's cool. It's a Kia. And, well, and if you have a Kia that has a part that they can't get, that's called trade me in, right? And I was like, well, hang on. So the oil changing place says, but there's a car place right down the street. We're going to tow you over there. Let them look at it. So they get it. It's late in the day. And the guy says, I'll call you tomorrow. I said, okay. So she gets an Uber. She goes home. She calls me. She goes, oh, I've ruined my car. I said, have a little faith. Just a little, not a lot. She just goes, oh. I said, you know, and I'm the dad, and I'm up here, and I can't do much about it. Amen? Anybody ever been there? You just go, okay, Lord, it's all in your hands. The guy calls the next day, and he goes, well, I think it's going to be fine. He said, the little thing that holds the oil in just got knocked loose. But he said, even better, the oil changing place that had just changed oil yesterday didn't put it in good. And when she apparently went through the parking lot and hit it, it knocked it out, and all the oil came out. We fixed it. I was like, okay. But I prayed, Lord, that you would double do it. Amen? So the guy says, you need to call the oil changing place, and they need to give you a free oil change because they're the ones that didn't do it correctly. I said, now that's my kind of faith. Amen? So I get her on the phone and tell her what happened. I said, now you call them. So she calls them, and they're like, okay, we'll give you $100 oil change. Come by and get the check. So then I call my daughter. I said, now, I wonder why that happened. I don't know. I'm just the most unlucky. I said, come on, man, you got a little faith. God's working here a little bit. Allow him to do that by faith. Another thing it says, Hebrews says, that faith is this thing that is pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. You know what that's like when your kids do something, you know, and you go, oh, man, you did a good job. Amen? I mean, how far does their spirit go up when we say that? Oh, you did a great job. Well, isn't that the word God is giving to us where he says, you're doing a great job. It's pleasing to God because it says it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. You got to have a little faith. You know, Abraham's life is a model. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham's faith, he promises. To please God, we must live with the mindset that he is both present and faithful. You got to have a little what? A little faith. Come on, help me out. You got to have a little what? Yeah, yeah. You see, faith is trusting in God. Faith is being obedient. Faith is having a humble and contrite heart and repenting before God and say, Lord, I want to do differently. You got to do that. Faith means bringing worship and praise. Man, was that awesome what the band did this morning as we come into God's presence? And you can just feel the Spirit fill us. It's that worship and that praise that comes with faith. Faith means having love and compassion for the world around us. By faith, it means sharing the gospel and preaching Christ. Living in a way that it says, without faith, you can't please God. Amen. You got to have a little what? Faith. And then I love this last part. On the last part, it says, faith leads to action. You know, I always wanted to be one of those Christians where I go, okay, Lord, I'm going to witness, but I want you to do all the work. I'm going to stand right here on the corner. And I'm just going to look around, and I know you're going to win people for me. You know, I tried that one time. It didn't work very well. I tried. You know, sometimes I just wanted, that's my application. I'm just going to stand right here and see what God's going to do. Now, God will do that sometimes. But it's, you know, it's kind of like getting in your car without your keys and going, I know it's going to start. I know it's going to start. You know, and you keep hearing that message that says, missing key. Missing key. Where's it at? Faith has this action is part of it. It motivates us to be in action to the world around us, to take steps, to see someone who is around us, who's hurting, and say, let me see what I can do. How can I get involved with God? Faith has this part that's called action. Faith, it acts on God's promises. Faith is all about trusting in God, being obedient to God. But you know, every now and then, you got to have a little action. Amen? It's not just going to happen by accident. Now, sometimes God will do that. But most of the time, it happens through us. You know, there's not a plan B. Because every now and then, I want God to say, I don't like plan A because I'm involved. I want plan B. In fact, probably in November when I said I'm retiring, I was already to plan B, which was sit at home and do nothing until Andy called. And I was like, okay. So I meet with Andy and Andy goes, it's not that you're retired. It's what is God going to do in your faith through this? I was like, well, I think he's going to let me watch some Netflix, but I don't know. And I'm like, but I don't want any action involved. I want some reaction where I just relax. Amen. And God just keeps going like this, and he keeps pushing us, and he keeps pushing us because faith happens in action. Amen. Let me finish with this because my clock's not working, and I figure it's time to go eat. So I know, I've been preaching a while. You know when they shifted twice and they looked at their watch once? It's not far till lunch. So let me finish with this. Years ago, I had an opportunity to fly. I don't even remember where I was flying. But I love to fly, and I've traveled. And I always, every time I would fly, my ADHD, or whichever that is I've got, would kick in. And I would get in my seat, and I would sit here, and I would like, you know, and I'm next to the window, and everything's going to be all right, and I hope everything's going to be fine, and I'm praying my Holy Marys and all those things, and I'm praying, and Lord, and I'm praying, and we hadn't even taken off yet, but I'm still praying, and I'm like, Lord, please, just if we could just get through this. And coming down the aisle is a lady, probably in her 30s, with a little child who's probably 7 or 8, a little girl. And I'm praying that prayer, Lord, please don't let them sit next to me. Please don't let them sit next to me. And the little girl sits right next to me. And she's over there just coloring, and the plane's getting ready to take off, and they're getting ready, and I'm just starting to sweat because I had this fear of flying that it's just going to crash. And so far, it hadn't happened, but I just had this fear, and the little girl sitting next to me looks at me. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. She said, well, you don't look very okay. I said, I'm okay. She goes, Mister, you don't look okay. She said, you just have to remember, it's like going to the fair. I said, what do you mean it's like going to the fair? And she goes, well, you just get on the ride, and when it goes up, you put your hands up, and when it goes down, you pull them down, and just hang on, it'll be all right. I don't know about that. She goes, come on, I'll show you. When it takes off, I'll show you. Right when it gets, when they leave the ground, just put your hands up. I said, okay. So we taxi down the runway, and we're taking off, and she looks at me, and she goes, are you ready? I said, I don't know. Come on, you can do it. I said, I don't know. She goes, okay, do it. And I went, yay! She goes, okay, you can put them down now, because we look kind of stupid. And she went back to coloring, and she said, well, you did pretty good for your first time. But then she said something to me that I have never forgotten. She said, Mister, you just got to have a little faith. I don't know about you, but I fly a little differently now. I don't always do this because it looks kind of weird, but in my mind I'm going, yay. And then when it gets up, okay, I'm going to be all right. By faith, Abraham, Enoch, all those guys, all those people, all throughout eternity, by faith. Amen. Faith is the assurance of things we can't see, things we've hoped for. But faith also is something that takes place in action. Amen. Let me pray for you this morning as we finish up. Be sure and take your prayer card home and be sure and pray for that. And be sure and come back next week as we continue this series on how to thrive in 25, because it all begins, I think, in one of the places with faith in the one who moved mountains. Faith in the one who changed time, faith in the one who touched heaven and earth, faith in the one who, as God, came down incarnate. Emmanuel, God is with us. And even the first shepherds, by faith, he said, go and tell what you've seen. By faith, may we walk. May you walk by faith as you leave this place this morning. And may you be in action. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we all pray. And all God's people said, amen. Bow your heads as we finish this morning. Eternal God, as we go from this place, may you exercise, may you use us and use our faith in you as we go from this place. We give you thanks for all the things you've given us. Now, Father, take us and use us. May we be the hands and the feet of Christ as we go into this world. Walk with us as we walk daily with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we all prayed, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Before you leave, turn and shake someone's hand and tell them you're glad to see them this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.